And I was chatting with some friends of mine. They used to attend YCF, but they moved an hour north here, and I was chatting with them. And he had lost his job several months ago, and he's approaching 60. He's approaching 60. And we know, according to the world, not according to God, it's sort of hard to get a good job when you're approaching 60, right? It's just the way the world dishes it out. So he had prayed, and the Lord got him a new job. And the new job, he is making the same money from the last job. There was no decrease. It is, matter of fact, the benefits, the money's the same, but the benefits are even better. So that is a win. That is a win. Just because the world says, oh, you're 60, you'll never get a good job, and you can't make what you used to. Yeah, no way. So anyway, that's my win story. Praise God. How about we pray, and I'm excited about today's message. Father, we come to you this morning again and again and again, and we just say thank you. Thank you for this time that we have set apart, this time that you have words that will speak to our hearts. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you've gone ahead and prepared hearts and ears open, Father. And the word will bring life and change and direction and just power in our life today in Jesus' name. And all the faith people said,
amen.
Okay, praise God. If you weren't able to be with us last week, I really encourage you to get the CD. Last week, we talked about a fresh start because we were getting ready to go into the new year, and we are in the new year. How many people have written 2018 on a check, and it should have been 2019? The rest of you don't even have checks anymore, so that's why, right? Okay, so we were talking about a fresh start, and a fresh start, to go to something new, you're going to have to let go of something not so good. And one of these things, we just might have to delete some of our mistakes. And our God is awesome. He is in the delete business. He doesn't look good. He just loves to hit delete. I'm just going to push there aside the mess ups that you had, the things that didn't go well, and he deletes. And in order to go, we said last week, in order to go into something new and a fresh start, you have to do the same thing. So, you know, you clean out your junk and just leave it. Go on forward, all right? So the next thing we talked about is and it's something that's been on my heart and been doing it for just a couple of years, but we talked about having a church time to pray and fast. Some of you are going, oh, I hate fasting. Me too. Or at least I used to. So we talked about having a time of prayer and fasting. And we said, and I still say, just fasting just as a diet. Okay? And you have to do these together. Otherwise, you're just in pain. But when you have prayer and fasting, God gets in there and does great things. And one of the things we said, or rather I should say the purpose of prayer and fasting is so that you can draw near to God. You can declutter. How many people went off of media? I did. I couldn't believe. Yeah, me. Okay, I just couldn't believe the clutter that with that. So I just, you know, I'm off and I don't know what you're doing. Unless you call me up, because, you know, all you that post every little thing. But anyway, if you can declutter some of that stuff and get desperate. Anybody desperate for 2019? Get desperate to hear from God. Get desperate to just get direction from God. Just get desperate to get saturated again. So that's what prayer and fasting is about. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm desperate in prayer for things in my family, for things from this family, for things in the world. And I found out through prayer and fasting, I have a whole lot more time on my time. Yeah, you know, and I'm just going to be real transparent. You know, I can be a HGTV junkie, okay? You know, I don't watch soaps or any of that stuff, so, I've turned that off. And I'm just reading Old Testament again. You know, I really spend a majority of time in New Testament, but I'm reading some of these, and I'm laying on the sofa laughing, going, God, this is delightful. This is, God, you're just bananas, what you did and what you continue to do. And so, you know. So I just challenge you, if you have not ever considered prayer and fasting, we're doing this for 21 days, and we started on January 2nd, so on January 1st, you could eat your pork and sauerkraut, and if you're like me, I ate anything that was sugar-related. I just ate through the house, everything on the 1st. By the end of, by that night I went to bed, it was eaten. just gone. Just gone. Jesse came down, my son. He says, Mom, where's that? I ate it. Mom, I ate it. Okay, so it's good. But that's just part of my thing here. You know, really, it's just spending time. And, you know, I'm excited. 21 days. If you didn't know about it and you want to jump in, get the CD. Go online, better yet. It's just easier. Go online, listen to it, and jump in, okay? So anyway, that's that. I'm going to do something. I haven't done this in a long time. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the scripture references now. Just write them down because I sometimes just go a little fast. I don't know why. I just do. So I'm just going to tell you, just write these down. I will again say this, but I really want you to get hold of this scriptures, okay, and I'll tell you why. First one, Proverbs 18:12. And all you husbands that tell your wife they can take notes. Come on. Jeez. Okay, Proverbs 18:12. No, that's okay. I don't care. I'm really. Okay, next one, Exodus 15. Verses 21 to 27. Gosh, it gets quiet when you guys take notes. Good. Next one, 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Okay. The next one is 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. Another one, Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. Numbers 21, 6 through 9. Two more. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And the last one, Psalms 126, 4 through 6. Okay. So today what I'd like to do is I'd like to share, because I've spent some time in prayer, not just because I started on the second, I've been praying about this, a word for YCF. I believe that God gave me a word for YCF for 2019. Now, this is for our church, a word for our church. Now, if you're just visiting, you can still grab hold of this because it's just the Bible, okay? So, I was praying and I felt like God gave me a word for our church, okay? And the words for our church, for the people of our church, for the new year of our church, that I believe will impact your lives and just really make 2019 awesome here. So how many of you would like to have a word from the Lord to stand on for 2019? Yeah, I would. All right, okay. Now, let me say this before I start. Just because a preacher gets up and says, this is the word for 2019 for you and your church, it's not automatic. It's not automatic. I'm so sorry. It's not. Okay? It just doesn't happen because I said, hey, I was in prayer and this is the word. All right? So what has to happen is you have to get this word that I believe that I've heard from the Lord. You have to get it in your heart. You have to get it in your heart. And I'm going to give you the key to get it in your heart. There's a key to getting it in your heart. And it's your mouth. Everybody point to someone and say, it is your mouth. It is your mouth, okay? Now, so we have to get it in our heart and it's our mouth. And that's that Proverbs. And you probably all wrote it down. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the, or you can say, death and life are in your mouth. Death and life are in your mouth. Your mouth can produce death or life. So some of you are going, well, OMG, I didn't know my mouth was it. Yep. Listen, James, who wrote the book of James, he's a half-brother of Jesus. He has a whole chapter about your mouth. Anybody ever read that? The whole chapter about your mouth. And he talks about, hey, man, you can put a little rudder on a boat and you can get that thing to turn just by this little thing called a rudder. or motor to nowadays. Okay, you can get that. And then he also says, hey, you can get this big, huge horse, and you can put a small bit in its mouth, and you, by that, can get it to turn, right? Not when I'm on a horse, let me tell you. Last time I was on a horse, it was horrible. Okay, but generally speaking, if you know what you're doing, you can put a bit in a mouth of a horse and get it to turn. And James is saying the same thing is true with you. The same thing is true with you. All right? So if you don't, now everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. I just love you. Besides, you're commanded to love me. But listen to this. If you don't like where your life is now, it's because of your mouth. Oh, they're shouting out there, Jerl. Jerl, as he goes, woo! Okay, yeah, really, listen. You might not think so. You might think, oh, Pastor D, it's the devil. No, listen, if you knew, if you know, listen, you can get the devil off of your back, out of your junk, and be and walk in victory because Jesus did what? He's already defeated the devil. He's already defeated the devil, okay? And I am so tired of hearing people saying, oh, man. And none of you guys, y'all know this, right? None of you. It's some other place, right? Oh, the devil's been after me. The devil did this. The devil did that. And, you know, if you grew up in the 70s, what was the guy? Flip Wilson? He's so funny. But he was so wrong. The devil made me do it. Anybody remember him? Was that the Laughing Show? Gosh, it was funny. Okay, but that's not funny, right? It's not funny, okay? Guys, have you read your Bible? What? Every hand should go up. Listen, when I read my Bible, it says Jesus defeated the devil, made a show of him openly, triumphed over, stomped on and defeated him for you and I. Yeah, he did. Listen, and he triumphed on him, stomped on him through the cross, through what he did on the cross. All right. So listen, if you receive Jesus into your life, the devil, Satan, your enemy's defeated, and your mouth has a part, a lot of part, the part to play in this. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to give you three big scriptures. We just scribbled them down here to start, and they're all talk about something very similar. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give you the word for 2019. So you can't leave early. That was good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So, and then I'm going to pray over all of you. Okay. So let me ask you a first question here. How many of you had some good things happen in 2018? Yeah, I did. I had some good things, okay? How many of you had, now don't, probably, you know, everybody raised their hand. How many had some bad things, bad situations? Yeah, you know, we all go through stuff and experiences, and it's just not really good. But listen, guess what? That bad doesn't change God. Everybody say it doesn't change God. Your bad day, your bad week, your bad 2018, 2017, 2016, I don't know how long your bad is, doesn't change God. God never changes. Amen? And some of you, you had some bad stuff hit last year. I was like, because I know you told me, and I was going, man, that's bad, let's pray, all right? And some of you got some bad reports last year, all right? And some of you got that bad report and walk through it, and now you're on the other side going, woo, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, okay? But let me tell you something. That doesn't change God, and it doesn't change what God says for you and about you, all right? Your good and your bad doesn't change how God what God says he has for you. Praise the Lord, all right? So the really interesting thing about that is if you start basing your Bible up here on your experiences, you are in deep trouble, boy, right? You are in deep trouble. We are to take what God says, the Word of God, and that will change our experiences. Amen? Now, I'm not preaching anything you don't know. But some of you didn't have such a good year, so maybe we need a refresher. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know. Praise the Lord. All righty. Open up to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verses 21 to 27. Here we go. We're going to get going. Exodus chapter 15. Okay. Exodus chapter 15, verse 21. Just going to read this first one. And Miriam sang this song. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. Okay, background, why this song is going on. Most of you might know this, okay? Background, the children of Israel had been in bondage and slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. Life was bad. Life was sad. Life was hard, okay? So they've been in there and they start crying out to God. They cry out to God and God hears their cry and he says, I'm going to send a deliverer to get you out of this hard life, this bad life, this bondage life, this bad, okay? And of course, we know who that was. It's Moses, right? So God raises up this guy, Moses, and Moses goes at it with God first, with Pharaoh, right? There's a whole bunch of tests and trials, and finally, everybody say finally. Finally, they get out of the place. And when they get out of the place, out of Egypt, out of bondage, this is where this song comes from. How many of you would sing if you've been slaves and beat and poor and just die? You'd be singing, right? So the story goes on that they leave Egypt, right? Y'all know the story. And then they run into the wall. What'd they run into? The Red Sea. They ran into the Red Sea and God opened the sea up. And some people go, oh, come on, that didn't happen. You know, it was low tide. They must have had a drought back then. It was just really low, and they just kind of walked right through. No, the Bible says it was the Red Sea, and it was deep, and God had to open it up so that they could walk through. One of my translations, I forget what it was because I was just pressing buttons and Googling a whole bunch of them. One of them says that God congealed the water. Congealed. Okay, Jell-O's congealed, right? Better yet, how about God froze the walls of the water, okay? Isn't that amazing? I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, so that they could walk through. So here's my question. If God did that then, can God do that now? Amen. If you didn't say amen, 2018's repeating. Okay. If God did that then, God can do that for your impossible situation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. So they get through, you know, they leave Egypt. You can tell, taught children's ministry. Okay, let me put a towel on my head and a bathrobe and I can act this out. Okay, so they leave Egypt, they get out of Egypt, and they go through the Red Sea. God opens up the Red Seas, but we got a problem. Pharaoh's just ticked, and he's hot on their trail. He is just mad, and he's chasing after them. Now, the Red Sea is parted open. It was congealed by God, and all of the children of Israel make it safe to the other side. But, you know, Pharaoh and all his horsemen and chariots and all that stuff are hot on the trail, and they go, you know what? This place is opened up. Let's just go right through and after them. So they get halfway through, and what happens? God closes it up, and they're all killed. Amen? So that is why Miriam breaks out her tambourine and starts singing and dancing. Woo! The horse and rider's cast into the sea. Now, if you think I like tambourines, no. But if you like tambourines, preschool has them, and you can be a teacher down there, okay? And listen, I don't know anything, where's my drummer? I don't know anything about beat and drums and melodies and harmony, but most people with those tambourines, okay, Dee, be quiet, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay, anyway, let's go on to verse 22. You ready? Verse 22, y'all there? Then, I'm going to say that again. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. Shur, okay? They traveled in this desert for 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. 3 days. All right. Without finding water. Okay. So God just did this crazy miracle again. He opened up the Red Sea, right? And they all made it through, safe and sound. Okay, jump down to verse 23 now. When they came to the oasis of Mara, the water was too bitter to drink. Many translations say it was poisoned. Okay, so just kind of get that in your head. Poison. The water's poison. So they called that place Mara, which means bitter. Verse 24. Then the people, okay, 3 days later, 3 days after this miracle, 3 days later, the people, right? The people, I lost my place. Where am I? Okay, here I am. The people complained, murmured. I was going to think of a word, but that's not a good one. Okay. The people complained, moaned and groaned, okay? Moaned and groaned and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. Okay, now wait a minute. God just did this supernatural miracle. Number one, he got him out of Egypt. Number two, he opens up the Red Sea. Don't you think he can figure out a water situation? I mean, that's little in my book, right? But they're moaning and groaning and complaining, right? And who are they complaining against? The leadership. Don't you just love being leaders? I'm going to say that a couple times. Praise God. Okay. They began to complain against Moses. And listen, Moses was just following God. He's just doing what God told him to do, right? So they're moaning and groaning. Now, I'm going to give you a golden nugget of life. Just write this down. You ready? Just a golden little nugget. It'll just help you through life. You ready? Murmuring never is beneficial to you. Okay? Saying negative things against anyone. I'm going to say that again. Saying negative things against anyone is never beneficial. As a matter of fact, it'll bite you in the you know what. It'll come back. It'll do something to you. All right? And it did. It came back and bit them, and it caused them to be discouraged. All because they were, okay? So they become discouraged. And you know, Moses, the good leader, he goes to God. God, what are we going to do? Okay, so we're at verse 25. Ready? So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. A better translation is a stick. And it also says tree. Write that down. We'll talk about that. So the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. A lot of translations say it made it sweet. Okay, it made it sweet. It was there at Mara that the Lord set before them the following decrees as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, So I was up at 5, like, let's start church and the coffee. Okay, so I apologize, but here we go. Where am I? Oh, yeah. Okay. So follow the decree and standard test for their faithfulness. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent, or a better translation, allowed on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals, right? Everybody say that. I am the Lord who heals. Okay, now I love this. So God is saying the way the water was healed, I'm going to compare it to this name I'm going to give you, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals. Write that down. Okay. This is where God goes, you just think I healed the water. No. I'm going to give you a new name for me. I am the Lord that heals, all right? So he's saying in the same way that that water was bitter and made sweet, in that same way, I am the Lord who heals. I am Jehovah Rapha, the healer. I am the Lord that fixes and makes better and whole. Everybody say Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that heals. Praise God. Okay, now look at verse 27. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs. Everybody say 12. 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. It's sort of like they were up in Alaska and they hop on a plane and they go to the Caribbean and they're sitting under all these palm trees and all these springs and they are camping out, greased up, laying out, right? Get the picture today, right? Okay, but this is what it's like, it seems like to us. Somebody else, not us, right? Okay. We go through a bad thing. We go through a test. We go through a bad report, okay? And we don't get it. We're trying to interpret it. So what do we want to do? I want to blame somebody, right? I want to blame. So we do that. We blame somebody. Just raise a bunch of kids. So funny. So we want to blame something, okay? But listen to this. On the other side of that test was sweet. Right? On the other side of the test is always something that's better. In the middle of it, murmur and complain. But on the other side of it, was the water sweet? It was good, right? Okay, so the water's bad, and it throws a stick in the water, and all of a sudden it's sweet. All of a sudden it's good water, right? Okay, that stick, that wood, that tree is representing the cross. Write that down. That tree represents the cross, okay? Now, in the New Testament, it'll talk about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it'll have little types and shadows or little blasts of light where they show you the New Testament. They show you your redemption. In the Old Testament, they just have these little, real quick. And if you caught it, you're like, whoa, it's coming. So this is one of those types and shadows that was written in the Old Testament about a New Testament. And the tree represented the cross. Praise God for the cross. Okay? And the cross makes things better. Amen? The cross makes things better. So here's what I want you to see. A little bit of bad water and you throw a stick into it, and it's made sweet, okay? And then they keep on traveling. They travel, I forgot how long they traveled. They just said they traveled. And then they run into, from a little bit of bad water to sweet, and then they get on their, they get going again, and they run into 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they're laying out at the pool. Okay. Now, you think I'm funny, but listen, here's the question. On the other side of your test, on the other side of your bad thing, do you think that God can make it better? Matter of fact, there is always sweet at the end of this. God can and God does make it better on the other side. The problem is our mouth and we quit. But that's another story. Okay, here we go. So God said, throw a tree in the bitter waters. The tree represents the cross. And the tree represents what Jesus did for you and I on the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's another question. Don't raise your hands. Look straight ahead. How many of you are in a bitter situation? A bitter relationship, bitter finances, okay? And how about if you just throw the tree in on your bitter and let God make it better? Just saying, okay? So, but the thing is, you got to be willing. You got to be willing, okay? And willing isn't just come to church on Sunday, and I am so glad you came to church on Sunday because I believe Sunday is important. Some of you, this is like the best day of your whole life, okay? But just Sunday isn't enough. It's got to be on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday when you crack open the Bible, your Bible, not the press the button for 3 seconds. Crack open, yeah, I know, it's just me. Crack open your Bible and you say things like this, God, I'm giving you this bitter. And I am going to let you make it better. okay? Because God takes bitter to better, amen? He does. All right, so I'm thinking about this story, and actually the next story has something very similar to this. I'm thinking about this, and I'm going, okay, so God tells Moses, you got this bitter water, just throw this stick in here, and wow, it's going to make it better. And we said the stick or the tree represents the cross, represents Jesus who makes better. Okay, so here's my thoughts. I lay in bed at night and go, God just neutralized that. Think about that. God just did a neutralizing thing. It's not a hocus pocus thing. God neutralized that water, didn't he? Okay, it was poisonous, right? It was poisonous, and then he neutralized it, okay? Now, God can neutralize things. He's not so hard. He's not going, man, no, God made the world and everything in it. He can do it. It's not hard for him, right? He can neutralize this bitter and make it better. So he's not having a problem saying, I'm going to neutralize this bitter in your body. I'm going to neutralize this bitter in your finances. I'm going to neutralize this bitter. Okay? He's not having a problem doing that. He can do that. Praise the Lord. Okay? Neutralize. Here's the definition. Means to stop something from being effective or stop something from being harmful. How many of you ever got those chemistry sets? I was a smart enough parent not to give them out. But my parents, it must have been a 60, 70 things. It's like every other year someone was getting a chemistry set. And none of us were chemists, grow up to be a chemist. Far from that. Okay. But I remember my brother got one and he's throwing these. Praise God, my mom was smart enough to say, you do this in the kitchen. Okay. And he's throwing things in and this thing is bubbling and smoking and bubbling over there. He's throwing this. And then he throws something else in and all of a sudden, he threw something in and it stopped it. It neutralized it. Right? Anybody? Okay. So listen, when you put the cross in things, certain things, the cross will neutralize it. And when I say cross, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the word of God, the promises of God, your mouth saying the promises of God, it will neutralize it and make it better. How many of you know that true in your life? Gosh, yeah. Okay. So the thing is, you got to find out what Jesus has done for you on the cross. And you're only going to find this if you spend some time in here, okay? So you got to find out. And then you need to say what God says about you. And then you need to apply it so he can make the bitter into better. Everybody say bitter to better. All right, I have another story. Open up to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. It's a similar story. Here we go, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Then the men of the city said to Elijah, look, this city is in a pleasant place. Woohoo! As my lord Elijah sees, but the water is bad. One translation says poisonous, okay? But the water's bad and the land is barren. Well, duh. You water your plants with poisonous water, you're going to have dead plants, right? Okay, but they put that there. And he said, this is Elijah, he said, bring me a new jar and put salt in it. So they brought it to him, and Elijah went to the spring of water that was poisonous and threw the salt in it and said, thus says the Lord, right? I, not the salt, have purified and healed these waters. There shall no longer be death and barrenness in it. Okay? So it's another kind of story where God neutralizes the water. Only thing this time, God just changes it up. He's not going to throw a stick in it. He throws salt in it, right? And the salt makes it better, right? Okay, now listen. I am not a chemist or a rocket scientist, but I know if you put salt in water, guess what you have? Salty water. How many of you just guzzle the water from the ocean because it's salty? No, right? That salt contaminates the water. gosh, they got these purifier systems now, okay? But listen, salt in water makes it salty water. So if you were to say, hey, pastor, this water here in your county's bad. Sometimes it's smelly. But I have a Kangen machine, makes sweet water. But this water's bad, pastor. And I say, hey, go dump salt in it. What do you got? Salty water. You're not drinking it, right? Y'all with me? This got it? Okay. So listen, but God obviously told Elijah. God obviously told Elijah to put salt in the water to make it better, right? He said, go put the salt in the water and it makes it better. So what happened to the water? It became sweet, right? It became sweet and they could drink it, okay? And I bet it was the best water they ever drank. Better than Brita, whatever you're using, okay? The best water. So in these two stories, God takes some water that's not good, and then he turns it into something good. So here's my question. Ready? Could God take your bad situation and turn it into better? You sure? Could God take that bad report and turn it to sweet? Yep. Okay. Next story. You ready? Turn over two chapters. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. When Elijah returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land, and a group of prophets was sitting before him. A bunch of boys came over, right? And he said to his servant, order pizza. Nope. He said to his servant, put on a big pot and cook some stew for the prophets. So one of them went out to the field to gather plants. He found a wild vine and gathered some wild gourds from it, filling his garment, sort of like made an apron and carried it in there. He came and cut them up and put them into the pot of stew, and no one knew what they were. That is not a good chef if you don't know what you're throwing in there. Okay. The stew was served to the prophet, the men, but as they started to eat it, they cried out and said, there's death in the pot, man of God, and they couldn't eat it. Praise God. No, not praise God. Okay. So it's dinner time, and does anybody ever read that kid's story, Stone Soup? The rest of youngins, I don't even know if it's in publication. It's a good one. So they get this pot and everybody goes, gathers and dumps it in. Well, that's what's going on here. They get this pot going and one guy goes out to the field and he hasn't been to the Sunnywald walk and eat the wild weeds thing, okay? And he starts picking up things. He comes back, chops it up and throws it in the pot, right? He throws it in the pot and only thing is he's picking up poisonous stuff. You know, those poisonous mushrooms, he's throwing them in there. And guess what happens? There's death in the pot. Now, watch what Elijah says. Elijah said, get some flour. Okay, now, before we had get a stick. And before we had get some salt. And now we got what? Yeah, okay. Get some flour. He threw the flour into the pot and said, serve so the people can eat it. At that point, there was nothing bad left in the pot. Or they ate the whole pot. Okay, true story. Come to my house. As you walk in the front door on the right, there's this big, huge plant. It's been there since the day we moved in. I did decapitate it once. But anyway, this is a big, huge plant. And it's a two-story space. So from the time you walk in all the way to the ceiling is this big plant. And we've tacked it. It hangs on the wall. And it's just enormous. And somehow, you know, this is what happens when you don't have animals. My husband named it. Y'all name your animals. Well, my husband named the plant Fred. So, right? Fred. Silly. So anyway, when we first moved into our house some 30 years ago, finances were a little tight. So we did not have air conditioning. We had one air conditioner in my bedroom. Because if mama ain't happy, it's bad, right? So summer comes, second summer comes, and we look on this big plant, Fred, and all of a sudden it's got some things hanging from them. It's actually growing fruit. Now, we didn't have internet back then, so we're trying to look in some books, and we couldn't find it, but it's growing fruit, and it was about yay long, and it's shaped like corn on the cob. It doesn't have the cover over it, and it's got the same little corn kernels on it, and it smells beautiful. It smells citrusy, and it starts out with one color, and as we're growing these things, so Jack has this great idea. Hey, let's eat it. And I said, you eat it. Somebody's got to be alive to call 911. True story. So they eat it. I didn't have to call 911. But listen, bring that back to this story. Hey, just throw some flour in it and you eat it. How many of you are with me? I'm going to wait and see if we have to call 911. Okay? So it takes great faith to trust that one, throw the flour in there, that you can take, that the death has left, right? How many of you would have done it? Some of you can. Okay, but listen to this. Get back to this. But God told Elijah to throw flour into the pot and make it better. So he does, and it does. Isn't that credible? Now, some of you thinking that's the most bizarre story I ever heard. Well, I'm sorry. It's the Bible, and the Bible's true. And listen, God said this on purpose, whatever the word is today. God said it deliberately, okay? He said it, and listen, and you know what he said? Your memory says, thus says the Lord, I said, listen to what God said, I said, the salt didn't heal it. And again, this is another thus saith the Lord, I said, what? The flour didn't heal it. Who's the healer? Yeah. Jehovah Rapha. I love him. Amen. Okay. So some of you need to hear this part. Ready? Christians can be flaky. Oh gosh. I have been and probably still will be. Okay. And I won't even tell you some of the flakies. Okay. But this is where, and we're not going to do this. Okay. And you can tell those, but this is classic flaky Christians. And then when my kids were growing up, they said, Ma, are there any Christians that aren't weird? I go, I'm believing, honey. I'm believing. Okay? Because we do flaky things, okay? But this would be weird flaky. Oh, salt healed it. Was that pink Himalayan salt? Or was that sea salt? I'm going to have to go to Sunnywald and get some of that salt. Because if I get that salt, oh, it's going to make everything better. Or flaky. Oh, is that organic flour? I'm going to get organic flour and just throw it all over the place and we'll all be healed. God said, no, it's not the salt. It is I who have healed. Amen? So don't you go getting flaky on me, please. Do not get me a pile of salt. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the answer is not the flour, not the salt, not the stick. The answer is the cross. The answer is Jesus. The answer is applying and saying what he said and let him, and he does, make bitter to sweet. Amen? Praise the Lord. Next story here. And I told you, just write this down. Numbers 21, 6 through 9. I'm going to tell it really fast. Yeah, hallelujah. Okay. We got the children of Israel again. And guess what they're doing? Moaning and groaning and complaining. And guess who they are complaining against? The leadership. Don't you love being a leader? Owner of business? Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. So they're complaining about the leadership again. And at this point, they get really mad. And then they get very discouraged. Discouraged, okay? Golden nugget number two. Ready? Write this down. Complaining will make you discouraged. Complaining will not encourage you. Now, none of you, but have you sat around with a bunch of girls and you just start complaining? Nobody's sitting there laughing. We are very discouraged, right? I don't know what you guys do, but anyway, girls do that. So, here we go. So they're mad and they're discouraged and they're complaining and they're moaning and groaning and they're just talking bad, okay? And God sends, my one translation, fiery serpents, aka poisonous snakes. God sends poisonous snakes to the children of Israel that were moaning and groaning, and the snakes start biting them, and they're poisonous venom. So guess what? Drop dead, Fred. They're dying. They're dying, okay? So they're dying all over the place, all right? And Moses, being the good leader, cries out to God, God, we got a problem here. God, there's these poisonous snakes and the venom is killing everybody. And God says this, Moses, go make a snake, make a replica of the snakes that are biting, that are poisonous, and wrap it on the pole and lift the pole up. And all those that have been bitten, if you look at the pole, you'll be. So guess what the people did? Moses made a snake, put it on the pole, and all the people that were bit, they look up to the snake on the pole, and they're healed. Hallelujah. That's phenomenal, okay? Now, this is one of those types and shadows that are in the Old Testament. Really tell about the New Testament, about what Jesus did on the cross and the redemption and all this greatness that we have in Christ. And so the pole represents Jesus. Now, don't stone me here. The pole and the snake represent Jesus. Jesus became sin for us. I could cry when I say that. Man, Jesus became sin for us. And he went on the cross and he took your sin and your shame and your pain and your disease. And he took it and he carried it away. And if you look to him, we're healed, right? Praise God. Praise God. I love it. All right. So, hallelujah. Man, I got two more stories to tell. Stay put. All right. Here's another one. Let me back up. So what did God do when he made this fake snake, put it on the pole? He neutralized again the poison, right? He neutralized it. And they lived. They were healed. Isn't that great? God neutralizes things, okay? Now, they had a look. They had a look. And they had a look. And you know what? We need to look to Jesus, who's taken and neutralized and set us free. We have to do that, all right? If you've got things going on in your life that are bitter and biting, it's a good idea. Amen? All right. Acts chapter 28. And really, the whole story starts in Acts chapter 27. But Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Paul. We're with the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. I love him. The Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul is put in jail for preaching about Jesus. He went to jail for preaching about Jesus. All right? He wasn't talking bad about the president. He wasn't talking bad about it. He's telling people about Jesus. And he gets thrown in jail. While he's in jail, the leaders, the big wigs, decide, man, we got to take him someplace else. Somebody bigger's got to deal with this. So they throw him on a ship, and he's going to Rome. Now, he's on this ship going to Rome to go before the big guns, all right? And there's other prisoners, by the way. He's not the only guy on there. There's other prisoners there. And while they're on the ship, they encounter this bad storm. And it's not like a one day, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's bad. It goes on and it builds and builds and builds. And it looks like it's just the whole story. It's just the boat's rocking and reeling and falling apart. And Paul's praying. You need Paul on your boat. Because he's not complaining. He's a praying, right? He's praying. And God gives him a word. Don't you love it when you get a word? I got a word for you at the end of this, so don't leave. So God gives him a word, and he says, tell everybody on the boat. The boat's going to be destroyed. And right there you're going, aha! Okay? The boat's going to be destroyed, but there's going to be no loss of life. And that's what happened. So the boat, they're in the storm. The boat falls apart. Everybody swims to shore. Okay? And the islanders come out, and it says the islanders showed them kindness. By the way, we should show kindness, right? We should show kindness to strangers. The Bible also, side note, Bible says sometimes you might have entertained what? Angels. So be nice, folks. Me too. Praise the Lord. So the islanders come out, and they're helping them, and they're building a fire. And Paul is not a lazy son of a gun. He starts helping them, and he's picking up sticks for the fire. Okay, so he's picked up a pile, and he's going to lay the pile of sticks on the fire. And guess what happens to Paul? For all the good he's done, for all the preaching about Jesus, for all that good word he gave everybody to encourage them on the boat, guess what happened to Paul? Because he's such a good guy, guess what happened to Paul? What? He got bit by a poisonous snake, right? He got, for all the good stuff he does, he got bit by a snake, okay? And you know what the islanders said then? Ooh, he must be evil. He's going to get what he deserves. He got bit by a snake, okay? And you know what Paul did? shook it off. He shook it off. My grandson, Cash, so cutie pie, I was out there visiting, and his daddy does this with him. Anytime he falls down, and the first time I was like, what? Because, you know, Grammys, we just want to, so he'd fall down. I just want to go scoop him up. And his daddy, Cameron, says, shake it off, Cash, shake it off, shake it off. So Cash would go like this. And he's not sure if he should be crying, but daddy's going, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. You know, half the time it works. Guys, if you've been bit, how about we shake it off? Shake it off and say, I'm not going to worry about this report because I'm going to look to the cross for the one who's already healed me. I'm going to look and I'm not going to get caught up in this whole thing. I'm going to shake it off. Everybody say, shake it off. Now you know what to say when somebody's doing something. Okay, shake it off. Okay, so shake it off. So that's what Paul does. He gets bit. He shakes it off. Now, those islanders know that is a poisonous snake and you should drop dead. Bam. Okay, and he gets bit and he shakes it off and he doesn't die. And now all the islanders are going, oh, he must be a god. Talk about people. One day, rah, 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 next day, just a side note, okay? So here's what I want you to hear for some of you that have been sitting in church for a long, long time and you've been bit. And you just have had some things go bad and you just think I'm paying for it. I've been so bad, I'm paying for it. I've had this, you know, I haven't lived good for God, and I did this and that, so I'm just paying for it, you know? I remember one time, who was it? Pastor Dan has had his car down here on the hill. We love this hill. And he didn't get the brake on or something. And next thing we hear is his car rolled down and hit the big rock. Not Jesus, the rock. And it did it destroy that car? That was it? It was done? Did they fix it? It was bad. And you know what he told me? He said, everybody came up to him. Well, not this church, everybody else, right? And said, oh, you must have been doing something bad. Come on, folks, okay? All right? Okay? Praise God. Paul did everything good. Paul went and preached Jesus in hard places and good places and fun places and not so good places. Paul went and delivered a word when he could have said, I'm swimming, you guys are sinking, okay? And yet, Paul had something bad happen. And you know what Paul did in his bad happen thing, his bad report, his bitter thing? He shook it off and he looked to Jesus. And guess who neutralized that? The healer, Jehovah Rapha, was working again, okay? So, how about we don't get stupid in our thinking and thinking every time we did something bad happens, you do need to check, you know, search your heart and stuff like that. But listen, we live in a cursed world. Bad bites you sometimes, okay? But you know, you look to the cross, you look to Jesus, you look to the promise, God gets in there. God gets in there. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Okay, quick review. Here we go. Two different times God took bitter water and made it into sweet, right? One time he took the death of pot and neutralized it. One time just looking to a serpent on a pole and you got healed. That's so awesome. And this last one, you get a snake bite and God neutralized it, okay? So here's my question. Do you think God can do it again? Do you think God can do that again in your life? Amen. Or do you think, oh, you know, that's just the Old Testament and they didn't have urgent care, so God had to be on his game? Just asking, all right? Okay, last scripture. I'm just going to read this to you because it's out of the Message Bible, Psalm 126, verse 4 through 6. And now God do it again. Everybody say, and now God do it again. Say it again. Do it again. How about, and now God do it again. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives. Anybody feel like your life's all droughted up and dried up and not too hot up? Okay. So those who plant their crops in despair will shout hurrah at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come back laughing with armloads of blessings. So here's my question. Do you think God can do it again in your life? All right. I believe that the arm of the Lord is not short. I believe that God's promises are all yes and amen. I believe that God hears your cry and he didn't put you on hold, you're busy, right? I believe he hears your cry and immediately comes to the rescue, okay? I believe that God's power is not dried up. I believe that the word of God is true today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Okay. So, the word that I prayed about after a lot of prayer, and I really start at towards the end of the year, the word for 2019, for this church, for you all, for me, and if you're visiting, grab hold of it, is bitter to better. Bitter to better. That's the main idea that you should get by the time you get out of the parking lot, right? God, I am going to lay this on the altar. Back then, they'd build piles of rocks and stick it on the altar. Now, you just go into the heavenlies and say, God, I'm leaving this at your feet. And I believe that you can take my bitter finances, my bitter health, my body's bitter, this bitter this and this bitter that. And I believe that as I give this to you and I just camp out with you, that you can make it better. Everybody say better. Amen. So I was going to have the worship band play this song. Then I said, I'll just sing it for you. No, I'm not. It's called God Can Do It Again. So I'm going to read it to you. Ready? Ready? I've seen you move. You can move the mountains. I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. I believe you can. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. I believe you can do it again. You made a way where there was no way. I believe you can do it again. Go get that and just sing that. Just sing that. Just sing that. And you know, when something bits you and you want to just fold and start complaining and blaming God, God is good all the time. There's no shadows of darkness. He is good, okay? So, but how about we just take this bitter and we just go, God, you're a great God. You made the world and you neutralized just the most craziest things. I believe in 2019, you will do this for me. And I might put my trust and my hope, and I will tell of the great things you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Can you stand up? I'm going to pray over you already. I want you to think of something that's bitter in your life, okay? Okay? Just think of something that's a bitter situation in your life. Could be a bitter family, bitter finances, bitter marriage, bitter job, bitter whatever. And would you just right now, just lay that down before Jesus. Just lay that down, Father. And then, so, Father, I pray for everyone in this place. I thank you that you're dealing with the bitter, and we trust you. We know our God, and God, you do great things. So, Father, we just lay this before you. I thank you that you're turning this bitter into sweet. I thank you that there is nothing impossible for you. I just thank you that you take our lives that may look so sad and you make them better in Jesus' name. Amen.